Our big idea for today is that God invites Christ followers to become participants in his divine nature. God invites us into this, actually living in his divine nature, which is extraordinary. And we want to think about that today. We launched Passion and Conviction last Sunday, which is a verse-by-verse walk through 2 Peter. And what we are discovering and what we will continue to find is that this New Testament book calls us to grow up in Christ and to become mature followers of the person of Jesus. That's the challenge that we find in this book. Today we are going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So with your Bible and your device and with your talk notes, please get those ready as we think about these incredible 11 verses where we discover God inviting Christ followers to participate in his divine nature. Before we begin walking through the text, here's our walking path for today. There is a reminder that we find in verses 1 and 2. After that, there is an invitation in verses 3 and 4. And again, that invitation is to participate in God's divine nature, and we'll see that again. And then there is the challenge part 1 in verses 5 through 7, and then the challenge part 2 in verses 8 through 11, and then we'll conclude our time with some helpful takeaways. Let's begin with a reminder. We see this in verses 1 and 2 in 2 Peter chapter 1. The book begins by saying, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave." And I want to pause there for just a moment and think about that word slave. Peter uses a Greek term here that describes his devotion to Jesus. So another way of saying this is that I am a fully obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who is worthy of everything that I can give to him. That's the idea that we find here right at the beginning of verse 1. Peter then goes on to say, "I am also an apostle of Jesus Christ." So I am a servant of Jesus, but I'm also an apostle. It can be really easy to just read that and move on. What else do we find in the text? And not really understand the depths of what's being said here. So we want to pause and think about this. Peter is saying, "I am a servant of the Most High." And in addition to that, "I am a sent one. I am an apostle of Jesus." And Peter is making the claim, I'm not just any kind of an apostle, which means a sent one. So I'm not just your regular run-of-the-mill sent guy trying to help churches live for God. No, particularly, I am an apostle of Jesus the Christ. He is the one who sent me. I'm not sending myself. So it's good to sit in this and to realize that Peter, the author, is making the claim, I'm a servant of the Most High, and the Most High is the one who sent me to you. And then he goes on to say, "I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you say this word with me, grow, a key word throughout the book, as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." Tradition tells us that Peter was executed for his faith in Jesus. He was killed for being a follower of the way. And it is very likely that 2 Peter is the last thing that he wrote shortly before he was killed. So this book serves as somewhat of a farewell speech to his friends. In this farewell speech, Peter is giving them this reminder, continue to grow. Don't stop growing in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Never stop doing that. And it's the challenge for us as well. As we hear Peter's final words, never stop growing, church. Okay? Never stop growing in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. That's the reminder that Peter gives to his readers, and that includes us. Never stop growing. Never stop growing. In verses 3 and 4, then, we find Peter's invitation to the reader, and that includes us as well. Here's verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. I want to pause here because I think the words we find in verse 3 are incredible and deep and affirming for the follower of Jesus. And we could sit in these words for a very long time. So allow them to fill your soul for a moment. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Have you considered that recently? In the challenges of life and everything that we encounter, that God has actually given us everything we need for living a godly life. Not just some things, not just a good majority of things, but everything God has actually given to us for living this godly life. And we received it all by coming to know him. And that's why I believe God invites us to believe and to trust in his son, Jesus, because in that moment, we get everything from God, fully adopted as sons and daughters of the King, of God, the Most High. So God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, and that comes in that moment of belief. And all of this happened because of his marvelous glory and excellence. In other words, it's all about him and what he has done, not what I do, or even not what I have done. It's because of his most excellent glory and everything that he has done for us. Thanks be to God. Beautiful, deep, affirming words. And I do hope that they encourage you today. It gets better. Look at verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his, speaking of God, his divine nature. And that takes us back to our big idea. God calls us and enables us as followers of the way to live in his divine nature. And here's what happens as a result of that. We have the opportunity to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So that's the invitation that Peter rolls out to his readers. That includes us today. We have this grand invitation to sit in the presence of God and, as it says here, to live in his divine nature, which enables us to escape the world's corruption. That's the invitation. Here's the challenge, part one, begins in verse 5. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. That phrase there, make every effort, in the construction of the sentence, has the idea of with haste, or with diligence, or with earnestness. Do your very best. Okay, so think about that. Here's Peter saying we can live in the divine nature of God, and now here's the challenge. Make every effort, or with haste, with diligence, with earnestness, do your best to, here it comes, supplement your faith with a generous provision of. And what happens next is that Peter provides a list of traits. We could call them lifelong commitments that mark God's divine nature. So if we are to live in the divine nature of God, if that's a reality for the Christ follower, as challenging as it may be, what is the divine nature of God? Well, Peter lists it here for us, and he encourages us, you do your best with haste, make every effort to supplement your faith, your life, with a generous provision of, here it is, moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Now, a word about each. Moral excellence has the idea of goodness. So make every effort. Do your best to supplement your faith with goodness, with moral excellence, also with knowledge. And this most likely refers to something much deeper than just knowledge about God or information about Him. I think this is referring to knowledge about God's will and how we should live. And then centering all of life around that knowledge. So supplement your faith with knowledge about God's will, and then center life around that. Self-control, which is the ability to avoid falling prey to temptations. Endurance. This refers to the ability to bear up under and remain faithful in the middle of trials and pain and suffering and loss and so on and so forth. We endure, we bear up under this and remain faithful to God. And then there's godliness, that we're to add to our faith, which is the choice to please God in every phase of life. And then there is brotherly affection. This is the love of brothers, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. It's the word Philadelphia, and probably refers to the love of brothers for other Christ followers. Have that kind of brotherly kindness and affection to them. Philadelphia, brotherly love. And then the seventh thing in the list is love, and this is the crown of Christian virtues. And you see that pervasively throughout the corpus of Scripture, page after page, loving God and loving others. This is the crown of Christian virtues. We could also call it the glue that holds this whole list together. Interestingly enough, author John Mark Comer talks about salvation as being a person who not only is loved by God, but also is pervaded by the love of God. And I think that's the point that Peter is making here. All of these things in the list are really important, but make sure that the crown, love, the thing that holds the whole list together, is evident with God and with others. Now, these traits describe and mark God's divine nature. In other words, God is all of these things. That is true. And the challenge from Peter to his readers, which includes us, is with diligence, with earnestness, do your very best, or make every effort to supplement your faith as a follower of Jesus with a generous supply of these seven items, and along the way be pervaded by love of God. Allow that to be the crown of the virtues and the divine nature that we find of God. Okay, so church, here is our challenge as we seek to live the way of Jesus in a way that counters the general way things seem to go in the world. Here's how we do that. With diligence, do your very best. So this is for all of us. With diligence, make every effort. With earnestness, do your best to supplement your faith with a generous supply of moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and the crown of it all is love. Observation. And I want you to hear this. Is this just an effort? The list that we find here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Is this just an effort to yell at Christians and say, you need to try harder? After all, Peter does say, do your best, make every effort with earnestness, add to your faith, supplement your faith with these things. Is this just another way for Peter the apostle to kind of yell at us and say, do better, church? Come on, Christians, try harder. Try harder. Is that what this is? Well, we're going to come back to that in a moment. First, I want to think about the challenge part two. And we see that in verse 8. Verse 8 says, the more you grow like this, supplementing your faith with those seven items, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. In other words, the apostle Peter is saying those who fail or choose not to develop for whatever reason in this way, well, they are missing out on a flourishing kind of spiritual life with Jesus. They're just missing out a little bit. And he begins to challenge us. Don't miss out on this. I'm living the divine nature of God. It's a great way to live in this world. The challenge part two ends with what we read in verses 10 and 11, where Peter says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard. And there's that phrase again, which again kind of makes us think we got to try harder. We'll think about that. But dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe Peter is emphasizing once again, pursue godliness, cultivate the God life, arrange life around twin loves. This is what St. Augustine said. Arrange life around the twin loves, love of God and love of neighbor. That's the challenge here that Peter is saying. Arrange your life, love for God and then love for other people. And here is a way to live in this divine nature with the seven different items. Okay, that's a lot of stuff. I think it's time for a St. Peter meme. Last week, I introduced you to St. Peter, the patron apostle of March Sadness, which that's not actually him, but it's just a meme. Go with it for a little bit. Here's our meme for today. Yep, Peter. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a trendy guy there with his glasses. Do you see that? It's the only funny thing I have today, so I would laugh a little harder just to get it out, okay? St. Peter, kind of a trendy guy. That's going to bring us into our takeaways. And I just have two. Number one, lists in Scripture can often drive us to try harder to make God love us more. Whenever we see vice lists in Scripture, the fruits of the Spirit and all these different things, whenever we see that, it's often a stir on the inside that I need to do better or try harder in some way to live this way, as if God will love me more by doing these things. So lists in Scripture often drive us to try harder to make God love us more. If that's how you're feeling, here's the takeaway. Stop. Stop it. Even as we think about this list, you know, knowledge and self-control and godliness, all of these things are wonderful, but the list is not designed to force us to try harder in some way to earn the favor of God. I think we see things like, here's the list again, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And we somewhat naturally assume that if I just try harder in these areas, if I give it the old college try or whatever it is that we want to call it, that somehow God will love me more and I will be stepping more fully into Christian maturity by doing these things. Question for all of us. How is trying harder working out for you? How's that going for you? My tendency when I see a list like this is to say, okay, I gotta do more. I have to try harder. And Peter even says, do your best with eagerness. Add to your faith these things. And my tendency is to say, okay, then I have to do more. I have to try harder. But I think trying harder to somehow earn the favor of God is absolutely exhausting. Because how do you know if you've ever done enough? Where God would say, oh, well, now I love you more. I love you a lot more because you did these things. How do we ever know if we've done enough? How do we know when we have actually tried harder? How do we know when we've accomplished everything outlined in Scripture for us with all of these different lists? How do we know if we've won? And then there is this thing called sin that invades daily, if not hourly, and somehow chips away at this living for God and somehow trying to honor Him. I want to take you to Romans chapter 7 for just a moment and think about some words from a contemporary of Peter. It's the Apostle Paul. And he says this in Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 18, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but well, I do it anyway. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Oh my. Sometimes I read texts like this, and I begin to think, if the Apostle Paul himself can't get it right, somebody who was with Jesus, he had that moment. His life was transformed. An author of Scripture. If the Apostle Paul can't get this right, then I'm toast. And so are we. What hope do we have? We should just give up now, right? Well, thankfully, he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 25 to say, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, he goes on to say, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The simple challenge here is to stop trying to make God love you more by doing stuff. And here's why. You are already loved by God. You're already loved by Him. And that's for the Christian and the non-Christian. So the encouragement, and I think what falls out of these 11 verses, is stop trying harder to somehow earn the love of God by doing stuff. You are already loved by God. Author Brennan Manning agrees. He says it this way: His love, God's love, is never, never, never based on our performance, never conditioned by our moods of elation or depression. The furious love of God knows no shadow or alteration or change. It is reliable and always tender. Now, here is something for us to consider. We take that information about how there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and we add to that this. While we attempt to stop trying harder somehow to earn the favor of God, we should not sit still or sit on our hands spiritually, thinking that we naturally, without practice, become filled with goodness, knowledge, self-control, and the rest of the list. So while we can't do anything to make God love us more, that doesn't mean we sit on our hands and do nothing spiritually. The invitation here is to make every effort to cultivate and grow the God life, not seeking to get God to love us more. But here's why we do that. Here's why we take the words of Peter and we make every effort to add and supplement our faith with these things. We do that to demonstrate our love for God. Not to get Him to love us more, but to demonstrate that we actually do love Him. And then here's what we do. We take that love for God and the knowledge we have of Him, and we begin to love our neighbor. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. We are already loved, but we don't sit on our hands spiritually. We add to our faith. We practice these things to demonstrate to God, we do love you. And now we take that love and that knowledge and we begin to serve our neighbor. That's takeaway number one. If you're trying somehow to earn the favor of God by doing a bunch of stuff, stop it. God already loves you, but don't sit still. Supplement your faith so you can demonstrate love for God and then take that love and begin to serve others. Takeaway number two, your desire for more of God describes the deepest essence of who you are. I want you to hear that. Your desire for more of God, it describes the deepest essence of who you are. Do you have a desire for God? As you just think about your life and evaluate it right now, do you have a desire for God? Do you long for more of His life in your life? Do you have a thirst for God? And maybe life is really bumpy at times and you feel like the Apostle Paul, I want to do good, but I can't. Sin is ever with me. But do you desire God? Do you long for more of His life in your life? Do you have a thirst for Him? That's the approach. That's good news. Not, well, when I think about the list of seven things in terms of brotherly affection, I'm going to give myself a C+ for this week. By the way, C+ is above average. I always shared that with my parents, with my grades. You know, it's above average. It's good. And if we were C+ in terms of grading ourselves with brotherly affection, it's not bad. But again, it becomes exhausting because there's always more space and more room. The point is, the approach is not grading ourselves. It's saying, Do I have this hunger and thirst for God? Do I want more of his life in my life? Think about this. In our lifetime of living for Jesus, we never come to perfection here on earth. It's just never going to happen. But we can, and we should practice. So we will never reach perfection, but we can, and we should, and we are invited to practice. And what did Peter say? Make every effort. Do your best to supplement your faith with these things. And while that sounds a lot like try harder, do better in all of these areas, while it sounds like that, I believe Peter's heart was for a movement in the right direction, because this is how we share in God's divine nature, which increases the potential for us to escape the world's corruption. And when we escape the world's corruption in small ways and in big ways, we present a compellingly attractive and different way to be human in this world. I love how Ruth Haley Barton says it. Your desire for more of God than you have right now, your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of spiritual transformation that you have experienced so far is the truest thing about you. You might think that your woundedness or your sinfulness is the truest thing about you, or that your giftedness or your personality type or your job title or your identity as husband or wife, mother or father somehow defines you. But in reality, it is your desire for God and your capacity to reach for more of God than you have right now that is the deepest essence of who you are. So reach for more of God. Reach for more of God. That's the heart of this. And as you reach for more of God, supplement your faith with these things. Back to the big idea. God invites Christ followers to participate in his divine nature. That's an extraordinary calling and challenge. We have the opportunity to do that, not to make God love us more, but to just express our deep love for him and then take that love and knowledge of God and begin serving others. So may we have a great week of practicing and supplementing our faith with what we find in these opening words of the first chapter of 2 Peter. May we have just an amazing week of practicing these things. Again, not to make God love us more and not to try harder, because when do we ever know if we made it and we tried hard enough? But we do this to express love for God and then take that love for him and knowledge of him and begin serving the people around us. May God help us. Father, we come into your presence just grateful for today and for these words we find in 2 Peter. A list, and God, the challenge, even the danger of these lists is we often read them and we want to try harder. But I think what you are looking for is movement in the right direction. So God, would you help every Christ follower in the room and everyone watching online to just have that kind of motivation and desire to have more of your life in our life, to thirst for you, knowing that when that happens, this describes the essence of who we are. And I think in that moment, we'll begin supplementing our faith with what we find here. I think it will happen. So God, help us to try harder, not for the sake of having you love us more. You already love us. You already do. But help us to do this, to express our deep love for you. And then take that love of you and our knowledge of you and begin serving our neighbor. God, help us. And I would like for you just to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed for a moment. And for you to say, God, here's what I believe you are whispering into my heart right now. Here's what you want for me. Based on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, here's what you want for me. Let's talk to God about that. Father, hear our prayers. We give them to you. Help us all in different ways where we live, work, and play as the church goes forth in just a few moments. Help us to participate fully in your divine nature. Practicing the twin loves, love of you, and love for others. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.